We're speaking with Greg Hayes, Manager of Technical Solutions with Raxco Software. Greg, I think everyone knows about FAT16, FAT32, NTFS, but you threw a new one at me today, a new file system. What's that?
The file system is called XFAT. It's currently available in Vista SP1, and it's designed specifically for the flash media to allow interchange between your consumer devices like cameras and camcorders and music players, etc., with your personal computers. And it eliminates a lot of the limitations that are currently imposed by FAT16, which is the file system that's used for the interchange right now. It eliminates the file size limitation. With FAT16, it's certainly 4 gig, which is small file size for nowadays. If you're doing video and things like that, those files are typically a lot larger. It also eliminates a lot of the issues you have with burn-in by writing to the same clusters on the drive over and over and over again.
Is there still a rationale in this modern age for FAT16 or FAT32 file systems?
In certain instances, they typically give greater performance for like a dedicated page file drive or your smaller like flash drives for interchange between different versions of Windows and things like that.
Yeah, you described NTFS as a self-describing file system. What does that mean?
The information needed to describe the file system resides inside of the file system. I mean, the first several records or clusters of the file system contains all the information needed to access it. It's kind of like a chicken and egg. It's confusing until you actually know how it's implemented.
You know, let's for some of our listeners, let's do some file system 101. Can you explain the difference between a logical cluster and a physical cluster?
Logical clusters is how the file system views the world, okay? If you've got a single physical hard drive and it's partitioned out, you've got like a C drive, an E drive, F drive, etc. Each and every one of those partitions starts with logical cluster number 0. And what happens is when you go to access a file, it looks up the logical cluster number, and then that logical cluster number is then translated through the hardware abstraction layer down to the hard drive controller, which deals in physical cluster numbers, which is the physical clusters actually on the hard drive.
Is there some general rule of thumb at an optimal cluster size for a typical application?
It really depends. For a general OS partition, 4K cluster size, which is the default, is typically best. But if you're going with large files like database files or Exchange or virtualization, where VMs or VMDKs are stored, then like a 64K cluster size is good. If you're doing video editing and things like that, graphics, then a 16K cluster size is generally the best for performance.
Okay, so you have that trade-off between cluster size and performance and so on.
Exactly. And trade-off between cluster size and what can be seen as wasted space on the drive.
Okay, some of our listeners may know about Windows Prefetch, but if you could explain that and then talk about the new Vista Superfetch.
Windows Prefetching, Windows monitors the boot process and applications that you run, and it stores this information in the Prefetch folder. A lot of the information is stored in the layout.ini file. And what Windows does is it looks in there and it determines what drivers load during the boot process, and then optimizes the order that they load and tries to place these files, keep them together on the drive so that they can all be loaded or prefetched. When you go to launch an application, it also prefetches the DLLs, etc., that are associated with that application, so that the application appears to launch faster. With Vista, the concept is called Superfetch, and what it does is Vista monitors the programs and data that you've accessed over a period of time, and will slowly pull that data in after the system boots so that it is immediately available there for you to use. The caching that's done is XP does not survive system boots. The caching that's done by Superfetch does survive system boots. So as soon as Vista is rebooted, it slowly repopulates that cache. Now, Superfetch will release that memory back so that it is available for other applications, processes, etc. So you're not like, it's not stealing memory and you never get it back. It's just using memory more effectively. It's a resource that you've paid for, and in most instances, like in previous to Vista, is underutilized. Vista is more fully utilizing that hardware resource.
Well, listeners, as you can tell, there's a reason that Greg Hayes is a Windows file system MVP. He's had that Microsoft designation for about 5 years now. Be sure to check out more on the website here, or a link where you can contact Greg and learn more about the file systems. Thanks, Greg.
You're welcome.